This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Bill Shear and Gutch Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, please visit gutchchurch.com.
Hey, you guys bring your Bibles? Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord, huh? You brought your Bibles, right? Turn your Bibles to the book of James. James was the half-brother of Jesus. James, the book of James, and it's the Bible study that the girls are going to cover, are going to go through starting tonight for the summer nights. And then I think there's a group of restaurants that everybody's going to go to from here. Out there by the Bass Pro Shop, all those restaurants out there, people are going to pick one and go hang out as a church family and friends. But here's what James, let's start at just verses 21 and 22, and we'll get the party started today. But James said this, and here's what's great about the word for me, is it's super simple. It's simple enough for the smallest child to understand. I'm a simple fella. I'm a simple guy, okay? We're Cardinal fans. I'm simple, okay? There isn't a whole lot of complexity to my life. It's yes or no. It's good and evil. It's light and dark. It's very simple. And here's what James said. James said, therefore, lay aside, okay? Listen, you don't have to grunt and groan. Just lay it aside. Get it out from your plate. Lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. And then it goes a little farther, and it says, and receive, okay? You got to receive it. See, this isn't a message that is just taught. It has to be caught. And receive, listen, with meekness. You have to deny your flesh. You have to direct your strength. Receive with meekness the engrafted word of God. See, God's word isn't an option. God's word's not an opinion. God's word has to be engrafted into our lives. When you graft two trees together, they grow together and become one tree. And that's what the whole concept of this is. You have to lay aside, okay, the insulation, all the screaming voices. Man, the last few weeks or month, I've just been talking in church here about hearing from God and hearing God's voice, and God's voice sounding like his word, and God's promise taking shape in our lives, and it's a still small voice, and it works outside of our senses. And in that, I'm just telling you, it has been so amazing how it's reoccurring in my life in a fresh new way. How the voice of God and hearing from God, just the what has become now second nature and supernatural in my life, that it's all stirred back up in my life, just hearing from God. And it's not ethereal and it's not spooky and it's not even really ultra spiritual. Because here's how it flows. It flows with the word being engrafted or engraved in our hearts. But we have to receive it. And then the Bible says, but be doers of the word. And this is a key. And if we keep this super simple, be doers of the word, not hearers only. See, that's what gets us in trouble. What gets us in trouble when we just hear it and don't do it. You know, what does the Bible say? The Bible, James even says, man, you show me your faith by what you say, I'll show you my faith by what I do. That we have to believe this, we have to speak this, and then we've got to live it. Man, the things in your life that you know that you shouldn't be doing, stop. Don't do them anymore. Man, you look at it and go, yeah, but man, it's just become a habit. Yeah, you got to break those habits. So many addictions, and I know I'm going to step on some toes here, okay? It's what I do. So many addictions I think are just bad habits. But people, man, we've been indoctrinated thinking, man, it's an addiction, and it's so hard to break, and you're never going to get away from it. It's like bull. We become brand new creations in Christ. Old things are passed away. And all things become new. Why? Because this is all about habitually in our life. Are you habitually in prayer? Pray without ceasing. Are you habitually rejoicing? Rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Are you in the word? Man, is the word in front of you constantly? Is that the habit of your life? Or is the habit of your life to gripe and complain? Because let me tell you, you gripe, you complain, you got a critical spirit, then there's going to be filthiness and an overflow of wickedness that's going to be dumped in your life. And you know what? It's going to insulate God's voice. We can't hear from God. Man, God's word speaks. It's alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. See, so now if we look at this, we go to Psalm 37 and verse 5, it says this. It says, commit your way unto the Lord. Commit your way. Period. Think about how direct this is. Man, if you were committed, I mean, the bottom line with this is that's where all of our commitment starts, is we commit our way unto the Lord. And then what does it say? Trust also in him. And he'll cause it to happen. Listen, it says commit your way and then trust him too. But that commitment, and let me help you with some building blocks of this, okay, that's gonna set the stage for this, for committing our way. We have to commit our way. Okay, it's real simple. It starts with our desires. What are your desires? Because what ends up happening is when we delight ourselves in the Lord, even the desires of our heart now become his, and he causes them to come, and he brings them to pass. But he gives us the desires of our heart. Man, when I think about it, I am consumed with building God's house, with creating a church where people, it's easy to invite people to have a good experience and then to follow up on people. I'm consumed with that. It's crazy how it's every thought that I have is laced with that. But see, we have to, because that's become a desire in my heart, and I know God's given me that. And I'm not stiff-arming that, and I'm not apologizing for it, and I'm not sidestepping it. You know why? Because even saying that, me just saying that to you, I know I'm in God's will. I know I'm operating in the plan of God for my life. I know I'm fulfilling God's purpose in my life, just me communicating that. And see, it starts with our desires. Man, the desire we have to break the natural desires that we have. And let me just tell you about desire. Man, the want to, you guys have heard expressions like, it's not about the size of the dog in the fight, it's the fight in the dog, and man, different, and I believe that. I believe if you just determine and you make a commitment to winning, you're going to. You know, years and years and years ago, a preacher, Kenneth Copeland, said, it's my ball, it's my bat, we play till I win. That's how I live my life. Man, I heard that and I thought, yeah, that's it. Well, we're not going anywhere. I'm winning today. And it's just an overcoming nature that we have to have. But let me tell you, desire trumps qualifications. And that's a strong, I'm telling you, you look at it, you think, man, what qualifies me to do what I do? I don't even know that I passed the eye test. But you know something? Man, the desire does. Man, a desire to follow after God, the desire to do something with a group of people and call them a church family and do something great for God. Man, you know what it's done? It's superseded even me being qualified to be able to do it. And you're gonna be early. You're gonna be happy. Man, happier those whose God is the Lord. Man, you're gonna hustle and you're gonna connect. Find that connecting point with people. And there's so many people in this room. I'm hardwired to, I'm connected with, but you know what? Man, the broad connection wasn't really there, but there was something to connect to. And see, that's the key. See, we can't look at this as tribal anymore. We have to just look at those connect points, those connection spots, those things in our lives where it's like, I'm gonna connect. That's why Paul said, I don't know people by the flesh, but by the Spirit. So it starts with our desire. Guess what that desire is going to do? That desire is going to shape our decisions. And that's the second block in building this, where we commit our way to the Lord. Okay, notice it's not plural. It's commit our way to the Lord. Trust also in him. Okay, our desires then shape our decisions. And our decisions, man, we got to make quality decisions. We make a decision to live our life for God and shut the door then. That's it. No other input, no other options. That's it. Man, and that's what it has to be. It's and because those decisions then bring us to our position. So our desires shape our decisions, which brings us to our position. And this is pivotal. Because now we have to live our decisions. I'm living a decision that I made to give the lordship of my life to Jesus. I'm living a decision to deny my flesh. I'm living a decision to put God first in my life. I'm living that decision now. That's the position of my life now. See, it doesn't matter what position that that you think I should be in or I think I should be in, I'm positioned where God's first. So that puts me in the back of the line. And if God's first, you know what? People are gonna be second. And if people are gonna be second, I'm gonna be a distant third. Because that, there's a lot of people out there. We serve a big God. So our desires shape our decisions, which position us. Where we're now positioned, and we can't ever let people, our stuff, even facts, get in between our decisions and our decisions and our position. We can't let people shape where we're gonna be. Because let me tell you, that position, we position ourselves where God's first in our life, and He's the great shepherd. Then we hear His voice, and another voice we won't follow, and it's that simple. Man, and then our position, man, you get in the right position, you're gonna have wisdom. And write this down, wisdom always wins. Because it's funny, there's light and there's dark. There's good and there's evil. Jesus said, you're for me or against me. There's wisdom and there's foolishness. There's no middle ground. There's no third option. If you're not walking in wisdom, you're walking in foolishness. And see, we have to look at this and understand it. That the desires of our heart shape our decisions, which position us, and that positioning gives us the tools to be able to live the life God's called us to live, and it's wisdom. And wisdom always wins. And what wisdom always brings us to, see, that's why these are blocks. These are building toward this. Building toward, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him with your desires, your decisions, your position, and then with wisdom. And wisdom's always gonna bring faithfulness. And let me just help you. To the casual observer or the babe in Christ, faithfulness is showing up. I'm here, I'm faithful. No, faithfulness equates to fruitfulness. And see, I think what I know the most is American church, and I know most of the American church now. You know, you do this long enough and you observe enough, you get a handle on things, you get a fix on things, and most of it is we're good at capturing low-hanging fruit. The fruit that's fallen to the ground, we could scoop it up. Some of it's rotten, so we can't use it. But we're filling these baskets of our lives with low-hanging fruit and really not moving the bar or changing, listen, the nation God's called us to affect. And see, this is pivotal and it's vital that we not be a church that just is satisfied with low-hanging fruit and calling it fruitfulness. Man, because one thing that's hit me, and I speak at a lot of pastors' stuff, roundtables and conferences and stuff, and one thing that hit me is the people that love church are in church. People that don't aren't. That's why 20 years ago, we made a church designed to reach people that didn't like church very much. So, you know, a lot of the trappings of church, we didn't have them. People come in, most church people are coming, go, I don't know if I like it, it doesn't feel like church. And you know what? It's like, okay, and in my heart, I'd hear that, and I understand it was kind of a rejection from people, but that my heart, that bell would go ding, rang the bell, doesn't feel like church, ding. And see, we look at this where we open up our property to people that love motorcycles and rock and roll music. And then you know what? People come in, and I've got friends, and they'll say, man, you have secular bands in. There's not a church that would do that. And I'm like, why? I don't get it. Because you know what? Every one of those guys in 38 Special this week wanted to talk to me about one thing, church. Every one of them. The REO Speedwagon guys from a couple years ago. Man, those REO Speedwagon guys still contact me. And they're like, man, how's it going, man? When can we come back? Man, I was watching Santana on a live concert on TV last week. And you know what? Three of the guys that raised their hand to make Jesus the Lord of their life during the altar call, we're on that stage playing. I'm like, oh my gosh. But you know, the whole idea of this, it isn't just the status quo. It isn't just to live our lives just to get by. Is that what you're doing? For real, check yourself right now. Are you getting by? I can't stand that. I really can't. Man, I don't want to just skim the surface. I don't want low-hanging fruit. I want faithfulness and fruitfulness to abound in my life and for that fruit to remain. So you know what's going to be required? Of faithfulness. Man, you start growing and you get a growth spurt. Guess what's going to be the next thing that's going to hit your life? You're going to get pruned. And I'd venture to say, any of you guys in here that have been a Christian for 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 or more years, I can't tell you how many times I have been pruned and cut back where it's like, oh my gosh, this is ridiculous. This isn't fair. That's how it feels to your flesh. But let me just tell you, you come back stronger and you come back bigger and you come back better and you can bear more fruit and that fruit can remain. Why? Because the winds come, man, you're ready to handle it. Why? You've been pruned. You've been cut back a little bit. That's what happens with faithfulness. You want to test your faithfulness? Receive a pruning of the Lord. Whom the Lord loves, he chastises. He prunes them, he corrects them. You know what New Testament public ministry is supposed to be? You know what Paul said? Paul said it's correction, reproof, and edification. Oh, sure. I'm going to go to church today. I'm hoping that guy corrects me. I want to go to church today. He's going to reprove me. That's the tough one for most men. Because most of you guys have done something significant for God in your life. But you know what? It's a new day to prove yourself. It's a new day to live in the proving ground that God has in front of you. Man, any training time is never wasted time. You guys all know that. Well, guess what? We have to live our life like we're in training to change the world. But you know what? Or we can be satisfied with the status quo of the American church and just go after low-hanging fruit. And just become an attractional church where everything's trendy and the coffee bar's real cute and all this stuff. And it's like, wait a second. Man, when all hell breaks loose in the world, I don't believe the world is looking for coffee at church or drinks with whipped cream and sprinkles. I think they're looking for the real deal. I came to Jesus in June of 1979. Last week, Sandy gave her life to the Lord 40 years ago. This week, I gave my life to the Lord 34 years ago, or 35, or whatever it is now, 34. And you know what? I wasn't looking for some cushy life. I wasn't looking for things to, you know what happened? I'm sitting behind the wheel of my truck, and it's like, oh, no. And Billy Ablin sitting next to me said, what's up, what's up? I said, oh, no, you're not going to believe it, Billy. He said, what? I said, this Jesus stuff's real. What are we going to do? Oh, my gosh. You know why? Because I had the realization right then and right there that nothing in my life translated through that cross. I lost it all. Everything, all my friends, all my acquaintances, all my habits, all my vices, all my comings, all my goings, everything, none of it translated to the kingdom. See, some of you guys, man, you go, now I'm going to get my life right with God, and man, I'm going to raise my hand. I'm not going to go forward, but I don't want to do it in front of anybody. It's a personal thing for me, because my life's pretty good. My life wasn't. I was a daily train wreck, but you know what? Jesus made himself real with me. And you know what it was like? It was God saying, okay, Shear, deal with it. Let's see what you're made of. Let's see what you've got. Because you know what the Bible says in Numbers? The Bible talks about Caleb having a different spirit in him. You know why? Because Caleb saw that land, that promised land that flows with milk and honey. Caleb saw that. Man, Joshua previously in that chapter in Numbers, man, Joshua said, whoa, whoa, wait a minute. You guys are cowards. Are you kidding me? Oh my gosh, God is handing it to us on a silver platter. Man, this is just amazing. God has promised us this. God has provided this for us. And we're going to stand back because there's enemies in that camp? Well, let me help you something. Man, God has withdrawn his protection from them, and God is with us now. But you know what? We're satisfied with low-hanging fruit. Joshua and Caleb weren't. Man, those other 10 spies, they were good. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. They didn't pull those enemy warriors and say, hey, what do we look like to you guys? Listen, that's something they saw reflecting in themselves. And now let's fast forward to a new and better covenant. Because see, everything about God in their lives was external. It's internal now. So now you know what I can say? Greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. You know what I can say? No weapon formed against me will ever prosper, and everything I put my hand to will. You know what I can say? But thanks be to God who always causes to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor and the fragrance and the flavor of the knowledge of God in every place. God has lifted his protection from your enemies, and he is with you now. You know what? We can't live our lives and not be fruitful. It starts with our desires. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he'll bring it to pass. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Man, let's get after this. Let's live this life. Let's not be low-hanging fruit. We can just get by. The last time I checked, I buy into the whole idea. I buy into America for simple reasons. But one big one, it's the home of the brave. The church should take a lead in that. We have to hear his voice. We have to be led by his spirit. We can't let all the outside voices screaming at us muffle that still small voice of God and us be insulated from his power and his promise, his provision, his purpose. Man, my desires are all linked to the heart of God and his house. My decisions flow from those desires. Those decisions, man, they get me into a place where I make a commitment to his way. But it positions me to hear from God and to receive wisdom from above. The Bible says this, you get in the right place with the right people. The Bible says you can ask of God and he'll give you that wisdom liberally and without restraint. Any of you lack wisdom? Man, God's given it to you right now. I'm just telling you, I in my knower, I know that God is directing you. God is speaking to you right now. And it's powerful. And what you can't do is just close the service, close your Bible, turn your phone off. Man, look at somebody and say, man, where are we gonna go? No, there's gotta be a carryover from this. You know why? God wants you living in the running over part. If you want the running over part to be available for you from God, you've got to be prepared for what you're getting here and what you're receiving here to overflow into other parts of your life. And you know what? Just find that one thing. Start right there. That one thing that you know should be eradicated from your life and cut it out. And you'll say, but I've got an addiction. What if I play the bull card on that? What if we just say it's a bad habit and see what happens? Huh? Yeah, but my doctor, I know. But what if? What if old things are passed away? Behold, all things become new.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Guts Church podcast. For more information on our service times, please visit gutschurch.com.